Morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community on this icy fourth Sunday of Advent. We first want to thank Debbie and Dennis White and all of our wonderful musicians who provided music for us this morning. Let's give them another round of applause. There are so many wonderful things going on here at Gates Presbyterian Church to help us prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Please see your bulletin. There are calendars and announcements in there for you to review. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. Or there will also be an elder standing right here at the communion table following worship this morning. And if you are new with us this morning, we extend a special welcome to you, but we do encourage everyone to sign those hospitality pads that are in your pews. At some point during the service, pass them on down, pass them back, and take note of the names that are there so we can greet one another by name. A few notes about worship this morning. This is a good time to pay attention if you aren't yet. The very first hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the very first hymn, this is why it's important, we're only going to sing four verses. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 6, and 7, okay? So 1, 2, 6, and 7, the last two. So make a little note of that. And also our closing song this morning, that wonderful hymn that we've been singing for three Sundays. This is our fourth Sunday, and we're going to make it good this week. What we're going to do is the choir is going to sing the first verse for us so that we can really hear how it is that we will go out with joy, and then the congregation will join together for the final two verses, and that's the closing hymn. And we also have another note about worship this morning. The Christmas joy offering is being received this morning. You'll find envelopes in your bulletin. This is one of the four denominational offerings, and it provides financial assistance to current and former church workers and their families facing difficult times. And it also provides opportunities for students to attend Presbyterian racial ethnic colleges and schools. So a great way to do some additional giving this morning. And also a big thank you to all of those who volunteered their time this weekend to provide food, to help make the food, and also serve at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality in the city. And we also thank you for your extra donations to SWEM, Southwest Ecumenical Ministries, as the weather last week kept some folks from being able to provide their food baskets. We from GPC were able to provide an additional 6 baskets over the week, so thank you very much. And one final announcement that I have is if you are in the mood to sing Christmas songs, find your way down the hallway to the adult lounge for a Christmas sing-along. Everyone is welcome. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, and let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. At this time, I invite the Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge, her daughter Erica, and the son-in-law-in-waiting, as I have been told it's okay to refer to you as, Jonathan Trotto, to light our Advent candle this morning. And please join me in the liturgy that's printed in your bulletin. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We light four candles, illuminating God's truth. Let every heart prepare, and heaven and nature sing, so that all might receive the joy the Christ child brings into the world, so that we might live the joy of this sacred birth.
Please rise as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Advent is a time of expectancy. We can hardly wait. God is with us.
We are ready to
receive God's presence. Come, O come, Emmanuel.
Be in us and with us in this time of worship.
Thank you.
When we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Lord, we confess that we are rushing headlong into Christmas. It's only 3 days away, and we still have so much to do. We have crammed as much as we can into these short days, and we are exhausted. Forgive us when we crowd out your presence by attaching ourselves to all these ideas about how Christmas should go. Help make us truly ready to receive your love and the gift of the Christ child. Amen. Well, God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. The prophet Isaiah declares, "A young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." May we receive the radical realities of God's forgiveness deep into our hearts. I'd like to invite the children forward.
Let's meet over here. Good morning. I'm so excited. Christmas is almost here. 3 days. Absolutely. And look, Mr. Hadley didn't make us a letter today. Mr. Hadley made us a punctuation mark. Anybody know what that punctuation mark is? What is it? Excitably. That's exactly right. An exclamation mark. And that's exactly what it tells us. Excitably. You know, when I text my daughter, sometimes I might say, "Call me!" Exclamation mark. That means, call me right away. I have something very important to tell you. I think that's why Mr. Hadley made us an exclamation mark. Because joy, the joy of Christmas, is very important. And look how it's decorated. In fact, it's decorated with hems of joy. Mrs. Becker Badger decorated it for us, and she put stars and glitter, hymns of joy all over it to say, it's important. It's important. It's something to be excited about, that Jesus is coming to teach us to love others and to remind you that God loves you. It's important. So I need some help from you. Stand up. I want all of you to be exclamation marks. And here's how we're going to do it. How is that possible? I'll show you how that's possible. Put your hands down by your side. Okay. And then you're going to jump up and down. Okay. And then you're going to shout as loud as you can. Really, really yell it. Joy. When I say three, ready? You ready to be an exclamation mark? One, two, three. Joy! Yay! I think you did a great job.
And our exclamation marks continue. We're going to say a prayer right now. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to jump like an exclamation mark as a way of saying to God, thank you for the joy you gave us. Okay, ready? Dear God, thank you for the joy you gave us in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm hoping I'll see you on Christmas Eve here at 4:30. Okay, good. Oh, good. Okay, now you can jump back. Jump back to your classes.
Yeah, send them back to their teachers.
From Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Here endeth the word.
Thank you.
Our second reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. This week, I have been watching the weather like a maniac. I admit to fitfully obsess about the rising temperatures and the rain, not to mention the freezing rain, but not for reasons you might think. You might think I'd be worried about who is going to be in worship this morning and, of course, on Tuesday evening, but that's not why. Because in my mind, it really isn't Christmas, unless there's snow on the ground. Yes, I'm one of those people. So cue the Bing Crosby. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow." Oh, it's so wonderful. Don't ever say we don't sing secular songs in church on occasion. And yes, the treetops are glistening. I don't know about you, but some children might be listening. Here's the thing. I get a little crazy sometimes about what I have absolutely no control over. And that's where I like to place my worry. Never mind the fact that the Christmas presents aren't wrapped, cookies are unmade, ingredients for Christmas dinner are still at Wegmans. And then there's the gingerbread house that sits in my closet from last year because the kids were too sick to put it together. And I know that baby Jesus is coming on Tuesday. That's a really big deal, but couldn't he help a girl out and bring a sermon? We won't even go there. Is anyone else feeling the crunch of having one less week in between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year? So here's what I've decided. At my house, the TV will only be on the Weather Channel and nothing else. So it can serve two purposes. I can indulge my weather-obsessed self, and I can also avoid all those guilt-induced feelings of seeing the perfect-looking families in those Christmas commercials who are all living the joy of their coordinated napkin rings that match the bulbs on the tree. All that, I know, it seems very logical. right? But I can't help but wonder if my irrationality comes a little bit from the fact that deep down, I know there's nothing I can do about the weather. And in all honesty, it would be this huge undertaking to really free myself from the onslaught of the presumed Christmas traditions. I wonder how many of us are ever really willing to put that kind of energy into letting go of what we imagine Christmas should be like in order to receive the joy that God intends for our lives in the coming of the Christ child. The Gospel of Matthew makes it sound like Joseph has no trouble with this kind of thing, wrapping up the birth of a Savior in 7 little itty-bitty verses in comparison to Luke. But I invite us to pause for a moment as the season of Advent, which we are still in, invites us to do, and to find the ways that our stories, who we are, connects with this rather unknown and often overlooked character in the birth story of Jesus. This man who struggled, who really, I believe, struggled with his own journey of letting go of the expectations surrounding him to make room to receive the joy of God's presence in his life and in this world. We know that Joseph is the genealogical link between Jesus and the Davidic line. The gospel writer goes to great lengths to be sure that the readers make the connection between the first 17 verses. Nevertheless, we are left with a little bit of a problem. The story goes on to make what sounds like a logical connection that Joseph fathered Jesus. But we instead get this awkward Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, and we know at this point in the gospel that we read this morning, Joseph knows about as much about Jesus as we know of Joseph. From other mentions in the gospels, we can begin to piece together a little bit more about Joseph and his family, how they are originally from Bethlehem. We know that because Joseph must return there when the emperor declares the census. Sometime during his childhood, Joseph and his family move 90 miles north to the town of Nazareth, where Joseph's father must have found better work in the carpentry business. Joseph learned all he knew about building, farm equipment, furniture, and homes from his own father. Carpentry was the family trade. But being faithful Jews was the core identity of this family. Joseph, son of David, as the angel will proclaim, along with that genealogy, reveals just how strong the connections are for Joseph and his family to the synagogue, to the Torah, and following the religious laws throughout their lives. And so it doesn't come as much of a surprise that the gospel writer will use one word to help us understand just what kind of man Joseph is. He is righteous. To be righteous is to follow the religious laws. To be righteous is to do what tradition and your family and your community all expect you to do. To be righteous is to play by all the rules and to enter into a legal and religious contractual agreement with the woman who will be your wife. And it is to wait the appropriate amount of time to then celebrate with your friends and family and finally consummate the union. To be righteous is to imagine a life where everything works out like you hoped, like everyone expected you to. It's about making it through that time between the legal marriage and, you know, the fun stuff. Go on. To then have this wonderful, picture-perfect marriage, a successful career, a home, children, and to be held in high regard by your religious community and your friends and your family. There were a lot of expectations that Joseph clung so tightly to live into his identity of being this righteous man. And these expectations and Joseph being righteous are not bad in and of themselves. No more than our expectations of Christmas that includes a tree and cookies and gifts to share with those we love. And yes, for those of us who want it, snow! Bring the snow. What happens when we hang on to those expectations so tightly that we can't let go and receive the gift of the Christ child? Joseph didn't know Christmas was coming. All he knew was that his wife was pregnant and there was no possible way that child could be his. But even before the angel visits him, Joseph begins to show signs of letting go of these expectations surrounding his life. But I don't want us to idealize this process of letting go that Joseph went through. I know it's covered in just a few short verses, but the implications here for Joseph are so significant. The old rules were clear about what happened next when you found out the young girl to whom you had been betrothed was already with child. The ancient world was immensely serious about that time. Legally, you were considered to be bound with one another, and there is no easy way to unbind you. In Hebrew scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy declared that death is the appropriate punishment for infidelity. So the righteous thing, what was expected of Joseph, was for him to make an example out of Mary and have her put to death. When Mary is found to be with child, it must seem like everything that Joseph has clung so tightly to is being ripped away from him. Joseph struggles with the tension of letting go of his own grief and disappointment, of no longer being able to live the life that was expected of him, with receiving the possibilities of what might happen next. And Joseph's first step is an indication that for a man who has spent his whole life coloring in between the lines, he is capable being open to letting those expectations go. He resolves to divorce Mary quietly rather than making this big public statement of having her put to death. Some have called it a coward's way out, but I like to think of it more as Joseph's quiet little Advent rebellion. It was his way of insisting that there might just be another way to do things in this world. A world that is obsessed with the way things should be. A world that makes it really difficult to receive the possibilities that life might work out another way. Joseph didn't know Christmas was coming. Though I do believe he heard the invitation of the Advent season, the invitation to live a life that at last encourages us to let go of some of the expectations and make a bit of room to receive the joy of God's presence with us. The joy that God came as one of us. The joy that Jesus was born like us, lived as we live, loved and laughed, and wow, talk about a guy who lived his entire life under incredible expectations of what he was supposed to be about. And yet in the end, he died. As too we will die. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead that we might no longer have to cling so tightly to the expectation that death is the end. The joy that no matter how many times the expectations of the world get turned upside down in our lives because we didn't get into the college we wanted to, or our bodies don't move the way we want them to, or they get cancer, or we lose our jobs, or we don't get the job we wanted, or our spouse dies, or we don't have those matching napkin rings to coordinate with the color of the bulbs on the Christmas tree, or there's no snow for Christmas. Friends, we can join with Joseph in a quiet little Advent rebellion of letting our expectations go and receive the joy of God's unexpected presence with us. May it be so.
Thank you. I'd like to invite you to share your prayers of concern and your prayers of joy.
Todd Pym, just wanted to share a joy. A very, very good friend of Heather's and I. He had hip surgery this past week, and he's doing very well, and we're just very happy to hear that he's doing good and making progress.
And as folks also contemplate other joys and concerns that are in your hearts, and if you would like to share, I would call your attention in the bulletin to the page where it says care and concerns. Don't already know that this is a great way to continue your prayers throughout the week for our church family. A few updates. The first is Sue DeCaro, this would be the Brown's daughter, had received word of a cancer diagnosis, but they received very joyful news a few days later that indeed it was not cancer and it was severe endometriosis. So a great joy for the Brown family. And also for Donna Schott's father-in-law, who did pass away on Thursday. So prayers for Greg and Donna and the whole family.
Hi, Jeff Tuttle. Some great joy that Jen's surgery went very well this week, and she came home on Friday, and she wants to thank everyone for all of their prayers, their cards, their visits and everything else, and she's doing well, recovering right now, and we'll get the full pathology this week and find out whether or not she'll need chemo or radiation. So continued prayers for that.
Prayers continue to be with you.
I'm Ann Smith. I'm happy to be here. Thanks to you and your prayers. I felt each and every one of them, and I'm living proof that prayer really works. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, and also prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy. Christmas is in 3 days. Prayers of joy to meet cousins that they've never met and to see grandparents on Christmas Eve. Prayers of joy. I'll second this for fuzzy blankets. Prayers of joys for Christmas parties and seeing grandparents, birthday parties, and for vacations from school. Prayers for all the parents who have their children home for vacations from school. And also prayers for a grandfather healing from an ATV accident.
Let us pray. Holy God, O come, Emmanuel, we pray. Come into our world, renewing compassion, restoring civility. Come, O come, Emmanuel, into our lives, redirecting dreams, re-energizing spirits. We sing and we believe that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in the Holy Child born in Bethlehem. Yet we confess that in our rushing here and there, we sometimes forget you. Help us to find space in our schedules to reflect upon the amazing event of you, God of the universe, entering our world as a small baby, born to humble parents in terrifying times. Help us, O God, to exchange Christmas chaos for Christmas sacredness. For we yearn to live the joy of the Christ child. We know that even in our saddest days, we can find comfort in your promise of unending love. And even in our loneliest days, we can find support in your promises of everlasting presence. And even in our most confusing days, we can find solace in the promise of an unending, solid foundation. Help us, O God, to trust that your light is shining despite any darkness we might be experiencing. This week we will gather with family and friends. We ask that you be in the midst of our celebrations, reminding us that as we gather, We're celebrating the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now we ask that you hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings as a token of our thankfulness for your continued blessings upon us. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Please accept them and multiply their effectiveness so that your will may be accomplished. We ask this in the name of our newborn Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
it than that. But I'll offer one to give you a few moments to flip over to hymn number 539 with the reminder that the choir will sing the first verse and will join in verses 2 and 3. Because indeed, we will go out with joy, living the joy that God intends for us to receive in each of our lives. So go. Go filled with that joy, the love the Christ child brings, and the sustaining presence in each of our lives with the presence of the Holy Spirit now and always. Let's go with some joy. Thank you.